Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, and I happen to be, good morning, joined this morning from the University of Minnesota, Mary Meyer, answering those questions again today. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. Happy New Year. We've got a whole new year to garden in front of us. Try out new things, new techniques.
I like your line of thinking. That's great, especially with all the snow on the ground, which is a good thing, right? We always like to say that. All this snow cover is indeed a good thing, not only for those that enjoy winter activities, but all of our lawns and shrubs, et cetera, it's good for them.
It's great for them. Yes, snow is called the poor man's mulch for gardeners. And so we do appreciate it. We need the moisture. And yes, it provides great protection and insulation for plants.
Really does. And again, for those maybe new to the show, thanks for joining us. Just a reminder, we are here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. It's called Smart Garden, and smart people like Mary Meyer help you out every Saturday. So pass the word and give us a call or send a text if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question. And again, we do, in spite of the weather, we talk about this topic every week, 52 weeks a year here on CCO. So please join in on the conversation either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Just for the fun of it, Mary, while we're awaiting calls and texts, what do you do during this season? I mean, reading seed catalogs, or what kind of off-season things do you do?
Well, I am reading seed catalogs. There are beautiful seed catalogs coming in the mail. And if you're not getting seed catalogs, you can request those. Usually, once you order from a company, that will get you on the mailing list. And so then you can get the seed catalogs. But lots of people do order online. I love to look at the seed catalogs, but then I usually place my orders online. So lots of planning. I just signed up for the community garden. I live in Plymouth, and Plymouth has a community garden. I've had one there for years, and so I signed up for that. Many communities will open the gardens for returning gardeners and then new gardeners on different dates. So if you're interested in that, check your local city, your area where you live, because there are many community gardens. I have a lot of shade in my property, so I like to get the full sun for vegetables to do that. I'm doing a lot of planning. I'm thinking about what new things do I want to try this year. It's so tempting with the seed catalogs because there's so many new things to try. It's always difficult. But then I look at the evaluations. We have Morris. Out at Morris, we have trials that go on there. And then those are published for the best flowers that grew in Minnesota. The master gardeners do their vegetable trials every year, and that information is up online. So reading about recommendations from local experts is another thing I catch up on in the winter.
I was, I guess put this off every year, and I make mention of it maybe once a year when we're doing the show, is I've always wanted to have a raised bed. And I'm not sure if I could do it myself. I know there are companies that would do that, people, the landscapers, et cetera, that would do that. Is that a difficult thing to do? And what do you think about raised garden beds?
I think raised beds are great. And the Minnesota State Horticultural Society really specializes in that, in their garden in a box program. They're actually a free program where they distribute the beds. They have first preference to communities and people working together in groups to get those gardens, the materials for the beds. But raised beds are a great alternative. If you have any doubt about your soil or if you might be in an urban area where the soil might be questionable, you're wondering about lead or other things in the soil, then a raised bed is great. And it isn't too difficult, really. It's really putting soil on top of the ground and growing plants up above the ground. And usually you need something to hold that soil together, so boards, lumber, but there are many different materials that you can use. And then, of course, getting the soil. But that raised beds tend to have great aeration, and plants like air and oxygen as much as they do water. So the growing conditions are usually superior in raised beds. So yes, if you're thinking about trying them, this is a good year to start that.
Yeah.
And there's more information. And the Garden in a Box program at the Minnesota State Horticulture Society is online. That's northerngardener.org, where you can find that information.
Excellent. Well, thanks for that. Maybe this is my year
do
that. Again, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'd like to hear from you. 651-461-9226. If you'd like to call and chat with Mary, that's great. Or sending a text may be easier, 651-461-9226. Here's a text, Mary. Oh, boy. Rabbits are eating my euonymus bushes. Should I still wrap them with burlap, and will the bushes come back, or do you think I'll have to replace them?
That really depends on how much damage is done. But if you can see the rabbits doing damage now, and, you know, we have so much snow that they're feeding at a much higher level than they normally do, if possible, I would put up some type of a barrier or obstruction if you can, because any of the plant that you can save at this point, it still might be okay. There are probably some branches that are going to be dead, because if they eat them off totally or eat around them, that's enough to kill those branches. But euonymus are going to be dead, because if they eat them off totally or eat around them, that's enough to kill those branches. But euonymus normally have a lot of stems. So many, many stems. And sometimes euonymus can even grow back from the base. So I would say, you know, it's a good chance your plant is alive. If you can put up a barrier, I would do that. And yeah, I realize how challenging that is with the snow and but any type of a barrier, even the netting that you can put around it and over it, will help protect it from rabbits.
You know, I think, too, we mentioned what we might be doing this off-season during the dead of winter here and dreaming about spring and summer. It goes back to what I've done in the past, is to get on the University of Minnesota website if I'm thinking, gee, what tree or what shrub would look good here or there. That's another great resource. Maybe, Mary, for folks that are not familiar with that website and all the great work that people put into that, what are the different things we can find on that website?
Yes, you're exactly right, Denny. The extension.umn.edu. I was just looking at it this morning. There are articles there about indoor houseplants, care for houseplants, techniques for watering houseplants. There's lots of information for starting seeds, winter sowing, information like that. I see that there are apple pruning classes. Apple tree pruning classes are going to be offered throughout the state in the next coming months, and they're free. You can sign up for these and learn how to prune your trees if you have apple trees. There's also information on what weed is this, what insect is this, and then, as you said, what to plant in difficult situations. So lots of information up there at extension.umn.edu.
And we will mention that, of course, before Mary takes her leave today. I tell you what, let's do this. We'll take a break. We can mention the forecast as well. I can tell you that we're still at holding in, although it's going to be warmer today, 17 degrees currently. We look at highs of possibly 34 today, and maybe 38 tomorrow for the holiday Monday on Martin Luther King Day. Let's see, 38 possibly on Monday. So definitely a warming trend. Let's hear from you either by phone or by text. Any kind of a lawn or garden question for Mary Meyer on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota, answering those lawn and garden questions for you this hour. If you have that kind of a question, by all means, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to chat with Mary, you can call 651-461-9226. Or if it's easier, you can send a text with that question at the same number, 651-461-9226. Let's see, another, and we get this from time to time, Mary, as you know, are fireplace ashes good for the garden?
Yes and no. You can use them in the garden, but they are very alkaline. And so they can actually change the pH of the soil. We already have alkaline soils in most of Minnesota, except for the Arrowhead. And so that will just make your soils more sweet, as some people say, or more alkaline. So I wouldn't put very many on without having a soil test to know exactly where you are. I grew up in the East Coast in Pennsylvania, and it was fine there. Yeah, the soils were very acidic, and so people did that as a regular practice. But here, it's not such a good idea.
Okay, very good. Let's grab a phone call, Mary. I think Karen is on the horn calling in from Spring Valley this morning. Hi, Karen. What is your question for Mary?
Good morning. Say, so we live in the country just east of Hudson, and our soil is very rich and prolific when it comes to gardening. My garden starts out nice and clean, weed-free every spring, early summer. And like within a day, if I'm not out there, it just gets overcome by the weeds. Obviously, you know, it's a daily ritual to have to weed. So my question is, what, in your opinion, what's the best type of mulch to put down, you know, between the rows, between the plants, specifically around my tomatoes? And then my secondary question is, what is the best way to keep a tomato plant upright? We've tried various ways, and they still end up just laying on the ground.
Thanks, Karen, for those questions. So I like organic mulches, and clean straw is really one of the best ones to use. It will deteriorate and help add organic matter to the soil, but usually clean straw doesn't have a lot of weed seeds in and of itself, and it provides a nice clean environment for around tomatoes. You can use grass clippings as long as they don't have herbicide in them. There are other things that you can use, but if you have can buy clean straw, that is that's a good mulch for of tomatoes in a vegetable garden. And then as far as keeping them upright, well, tomatoes, there are two kinds of tomatoes, the indeterminate that grow forever into a huge big plant, and then determinate, which their top bud is a fruit and so, rather than leaves, and so they are short. So depending on what kind of tomato you get, the determinate ones are shorter by nature and easier to stake, and they're just going to be a short plant at, you know, around 3 feet or so. The indeterminate ones will go on forever. They will get to be 6 feet tall, 7 feet tall, and they're a little harder to manage. But either way, it's a cage or 2 to 4 stakes, and then supports. So if you have the indeterminate ones, they're harder. Now, ideally, the seed packet or the seed catalog would tell you which is which on these tomatoes. But looking online, you can usually find that information. If you know the varieties you like, you can determine if they're determinate or indeterminate. So hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah, those are the terms I just learned. I remember you were a couple years ago now when I was growing certain kinds of tomatoes. I thought, I never heard of this before, determinate and indeterminate, but it's a good qualification. Thanks, Karen, for the call. Let's go back to the phones. Marlis, I believe, is calling in from Farmington this morning. Marlis, you are on CCO with Mary.
Yes, good morning. Love your show.
You.
I have a question about a Kalanko plant that I was gifted. I've had it a couple years. It bloomed on 4 of its appendages last summer. But I'm wondering if it needs to be clipped back, the stems, to increase more lower vigorous growth, or needs repotting. How do you get that plant to grow some flowers again well? And does it bloom just once a year?
Yeah, Kalanchoe or Kalanchoe, I think there are a couple of ways to say that. It's usually really a greenhouse plant. I'm not sure. I personally have never gotten that to reflower, but it's known for liking cool conditions. So cool conditions in the 50s even is what it likes. So I would try to keep it near a window, bright sunlight, with cool conditions. I'd have to look up if short days make a difference to that plant or not. But many times, you know, the days that we're in right now are the short natural day length will initiate flower buds. I would also try fertilizing it. It probably doesn't need repotting. I kind of doubt that's the limiting factor. Probably a lot of light, cooler conditions. And I would, as long as it's healthy and you see new growth, I would give it some fertilizer about every 2 weeks when it's growing indoors now in the winter.
All right, very good, Marlis. Thank you. Mary, hang on. We're going to take a break for that forecast, and we have about another half hour of the show to go. Mike and Eden Prairie, you're going to be next on the horn, so don't go away. If you want to call in your question, lawn and garden question, or send a text, either way, here's the number, 651-461-9226. We'll be back with more after the forecast here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour here on CCO. Welcoming your phone calls or text messages this morning for Mary Meyer from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions. And as usual, Mary, we have callers and we have texters. Maybe a little bit later this half hour we can talk about what's going on at the Arboretum as well. We always like to do that. Let's see. Mike is waiting there in Eden Prairie on the horn, I believe, to ask a question. Thanks for waiting, Mike. What's your question, please?
Yes, hello. Hey, Mary, I have got probably an 8 or 10 foot arborvitae. We planted it maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and it took the worst of the snowstorm recently. It's bent over. It's probably no more than 3 feet tall right now. It just bent down, you know, 2 to 3 feet up from the ground. I've shaken the snow off it, but question is that going to recover in the spring? Is it ever going to grow straight again, and should I do anything to it in the spring?
Great questions, Mike. Yes, this is a tough time for the evergreens, especially ones that will catch snow and ice and bend them over. I'm glad that yours didn't break when you were shaking the snow off. Sometimes when it's real cold and it's all that ice, that actually the movement can actually crack it and damage it. So it's great that yours didn't break and just the snow came off. But many times, yes, these plants will recover. They will become much more pliable and upright when it gets warm again. And yours is fairly young, and it's not real tall, not 20 or 30 feet tall. So the younger ones do have a tendency to bounce back better. But for anyone who's like cringing, like I am, looking at my arborvitae, the best thing is usually just to leave them alone. When it's quite a bit warmer and it's more of a rain than it is ice, you can maybe get some of the snow to come off. But it really is a risk to go out there and shake them when there's so much ice because they're very brittle. But, it's a challenge.
I guess. Text, by the way, here's our, thanks, Mike. The text number is the same as the phone number, 651-461-9226. A texter says, we have a 9-foot pyramidal yew by the house that the deer came by about 2 weeks ago, ate all the needles off the bottom 5 feet of the yew. Do you think the plant will regrow the needles, or do we need to replant the shrub?
It's pretty unlikely it will regrow the needles down there. Usually that's where there's lower light, anyway. And yeah, it's amazing that what damage deer can do. Now, there were arborvitae at the arboretum that deer had eaten off for years as far as they could reach, and they looked strange and they looked funny. But I would just wait and see really how bad the damage is once all the snow is gone, and then you'll have to decide whether or not you can live with how the plant looks at that point.
Well, we had the same issue until we got a barrier, a fence, the rest of the fence put up on three pine trees. They did, about the bottom 4 feet, they just totally destroyed. However, since then, of course, before the snow, some of those things, those needles are growing back. Not all, a few of them. But and I'm wondering, maybe you know, there will be some way to save the trees. But they can do so much damage.
Yes.
And can they jump?
Yes, they can reach high. They can jump. And now with the snow, you know, they have easier access to higher parts of it. Yeah, a lot of it depends on how healthy the plant is and how much light it's getting. You know, if it's in a shady place below other foliage, it's unlikely those buds will break where it's so shady.
Yeah. Oh, good luck with that. Let's go back to the phones, Mary. Let's see. Kathy is calling in from Shorewood this morning. Kathy, you're on CCO with Mary. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have an above-ground pool, and now that is gone. So I had a layer of sand and then black dirt. What can I put there to grow this year? It faces the west, so it gets sun all day.
I think you can grow a lot of things there, Kathy. This is where you had your pool before, the above-ground pool, and that's not there anymore. So sand and black dirt, which is often a silty form of fill, that should be fine, the sun conditions. Chlorine and so on associated with pools, often that will evaporate chlorine and hopefully will not be a problem. You can always get a soil test and determine the nutrient levels that are in there and the pH that's there. I would do some tilling, rototilling or spading to try to incorporate the sand and the black soil so that's not separate layers, that it's incorporated together. But as long as it's full sun, you have a lot of alternatives, flowers, shrubs, vegetables even, that you could grow in that area. So really, yeah, think about your preference. If you want to put in a lawn, I mean, you could do that because of full sun conditions. Many of the turf grasses like well-drained soils with sand that's in them. So yeah, I think you have a lot of choices.
Yeah, very good. Again, 651-461-9226. Texter says this, Mary, my tomato plant stems got very girthy with some bumps on them, and the tomatoes never ripened. What do you think happened there?
Yeah, I've seen bumps like that on tomato stems. That really isn't, it's more of a abiotic issue. It's not an insect. It's not a disease issue. Sometimes from just abrasion or damage, it's a kind of like a callus that will grow. But I don't think that should affect the actual ability for the plant to set fruit. But then the second half of that was very little fruit, right?
Yeah. In fact, the tomatoes, they said, never ripened.
Oh, never ripened. Yeah, I would say that's more a variety thing. And, you know, so look for recommended varieties through the master gardeners. You know, some of the tomatoes that I've grown for years, Celebrity, Early Girl, Jet Star, these are kind of our old classics that are disease resistant, bloom and flower in a short number of days, will consistently set fruit in the north. So I would really pay attention to what variety you're planting, because there are really hundreds of different types of tomatoes, and the variety really makes a difference.
For sure. This listener's Mary said, since I brought my hibiscus inside, it's been dying. Is there something I can do to try to revive it?
Well, hibiscus need a lot of light, and we've been suffering as humans from lack of light up here in Minnesota, and so our plants really are barely hanging on. But the brightest light conditions is what hibiscus needs. They need a lot of water, but they don't like standing water. So you have to make sure that the water is not standing on the roots and that you're draining it off after you water them. But I would give them as much water as possible. Now, it's very likely they will lose a lot of foliage, maybe even a third or half of their foliage when you bring them indoors. But that, you know, that I have overwintered hibiscus. I've gotten them to flower in the wintertime. Probably many of our listeners now might be looking at a hibiscus that actually is flowering. They just need as much light as possible and don't leave them in standing water.
This next text, Mary, may call for an arboretum, just my guess, but I'll read it. We have some full-grown oak trees that are at least 50-plus years old. Some of them are partially losing their bark. Is this normal for their age? Is there anything that should be done? What do you think, Mary?
Well, losing bark is not a good sign, especially if it's coming off in big enough chunks and it's an oak tree. Oaks are not known for losing their bark. There are other trees like sycamores that will shed bark normally, but oaks normally do not. So, right, I think calling in the certified arborists. We have a publication on how to select an arborist at the extension.umn.edu website. Many arborists will give you an opinion free of charge. You could even get a couple of opinions if you wanted. But oaks are such a wonderful plant. There actually is a lot of information now about oaks as keystone species. These are species that will are so important to the environment because they will provide food and habitat for many insects, birds, wildlife, etc. And we know oaks are at the top of the list for being very, very important. So I would do as much as you can to make sure that you're saving your oaks and keeping them as healthy as possible.
Before we do a quick break, let's grab another text, Mary. This listener says, can I cut back lilacs and hydrangeas during this winter? And to what length? And will they bloom in the spring? There's the big question.
They won't bloom in the spring if you cut them back now. You might be okay with hydrangeas, but I try to do minimal pruning on hydrangeas because there's several different kinds. And if you don't know what kind you have, you end up cutting off the blooms. The best thing is to do the pruning right after the plants have flowered. So after flowering for the lilacs, and then I just cut off old blooms on the hydrangeas. But if you prune now, you're definitely cutting off the bloom. So I'd wait till in the spring after they flower.
Very good. We'll take this break and be right back with more of our Smart Garden Show. A reminder, right after the 9 o'clock news break, we'll be answering those home improvement questions. So keep those in mind. Andy Lindis will be joining us again right after the 9 o'clock news break. So if you have any home improvement questions, by all means, you can call or text at that time right after the 9 o'clock news break. Right now in the Twin Cities, 17 degrees. We're heading for 34. Stay with us here. News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on WCCO around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Mary Meyer from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions. I know, Mary, you had a kind of a follow-up. Then I wanted to ask you what's going on at the Arboretum, but you did a little homework during a break.
Yes, I did. So the Kalanchoe is a flower. We had the caller, I'm sorry, I can't remember, Marlis, I think, asked about reflowering Kalanchoe or Kalanchoa. This is a popular plant that is sold in grocery stores, florists, garden centers, kind of succulent foliage, and the flowers last for a long time. It is a short-day plant. So just like Christmas cactus and poinsettia, it will only set flowers again if it has short days. So inside now in the winter, we have our short days, but of course we turn the lights on. So if you put it in a room for 6 weeks where it just gets the natural day length, bright sun during the day, but short days, after about 6 weeks, it can set flower buds.
Okay, good. Thank you for that. What is going on? I mean, here we talk about winter, a lot of snow on the ground, but still lots to do with the Arboretum.
Yes, the conservatory, of course, is beautiful out at the Arboretum. It's a rather small conservatory, but you can see the oranges there, lots of orchids flowering, etc. And then there are many trails at the Arboretum. So you can rent snowshoes. Their ski trails are there. And you can see every day the conditions of the ski trails. They're posted early in the morning. I just looked at the ski trails, walking trails, all in fair condition out at the Arboretum. Tomorrow there is a wellness market and some special classes on wellness. And then coming up in February, the whole month of February, will be the flower show out at the Arboretum. You can sign up now for a tea if you'd like to go to a special tea for February to see the flower show and then have a tea with friends. That's always a fun thing to do.
And if you want to get out there again, you got to reserve online, right?
Yes, you reserve online. There's always lots of openings, and just make your reservations and then go. There are hundreds of people that can make reservations on every half hour. So easy to make the reservations, but that is something that we'll probably keep for a long time at the Arboretum. It helps with parking. It helps us to really manage visitors better.
Yeah, I think it's really an efficient way of getting things done there. It makes everybody a little less stressful.
Easier. That's
yeah,
right. Less
absolutely.
Stressful. That's right.
This texter, Mary, thanks for that, says or wants to know, can I use suckers for apple tree grafting?
Well, yeah, suckers are not the best, but you can. That is genetically the same type of plant. So, yes, so if you had suckers on your Honeycrisp and you took some of those off and used them for grafting on, a Jetstar or something else, that still is, it is going to be Honeycrisp. So that will work, yeah.
Okay. This listener wants to know, we mentioned they were talking about tomatoes earlier, can indeterminate tomatoes be pruned to control their size?
Oh, yes, you can do that. Pruning tomatoes is kind of a whole topic in and of itself. And I don't like to prune tomatoes. If you're pruning a tomato, you're just cutting off potential flowers and fruits. But many people do, and you get an indeterminate. You'll get a really, really tall thing, and then you can cut off all the side shoots. So it is easier to control. And certainly greenhouse tomatoes, they're very careful about how they are pruned and trained and grown because they want the maximum production. So you can do that, but it isn't really necessary. And you don't usually prune a determinate one because that plant is going to be little anyway.
We must be getting folks anxious for spring and tomatoes. I'm just noticing more text messages about tomatoes. One is, what's the best soil to use when planting tomatoes in pots? Is regular garden soil from outside okay, or should we use potting soil? And if so, which type? So soil question.
Yeah, I like to use a combination in containers. I do like to have some regular ground or topsoil in there. That's a mineral soil that's got nutrients and micronutrients. But then the majority of what I use in a container is commercial potting soil. So it's a lightweight soil. When the bag is easy to pick up, that's a good type of potting soil. So lightweight, they're usually peat-based soils. They hold a lot of moisture, and yet they have a lot of air spaces in them. So, but it's great if you can put in a couple shovels of regular garden soil. You don't have to do that. But if you use just the commercial potting soil, you really got to put the fertilizer on because there are usually no nutrients in that soil. But you want to be sure and read the label, because more soils today have slow-release fertilizer. It used to be that it was never in there. Now there's sometimes there is slow-release. But pretty much you're going to have to use supplemental fertilizer with container plants.
Okay. This listener cannot get rid of aphids on my hibiscus. Any suggestions? Will the plants die from them?
Well, they might die if you've really got a huge amount of them. So in the winter now, this is hibiscus is indoors, I would put that plant in the shower and really wash it off really, really well. And then let it drain really well. And you're trying to physically remove those aphids. And then when you see them come out, use insecticidal soaps to try to minimize and keep the population down. That's really a challenge when the plant is indoors, because it's hard to get it really clean, and those aphids are just amazing how they can reproduce. So I would say you have to be really diligent, and I would think about putting it in the shower almost once a week, really, to keep it as clean as possible.
Okay. Here's an interesting question. Are poppy flowers hard to grow? Why do we see them up by Grand Marais and not in the cities?
Oh, interesting. I haven't seen a bite Grand Marais. How about that? Well, a lot of poppies do like well-drained soils, and they do tend to like cool conditions. So the cool year-round kind of maritime conditions along Superior, it's those conditions. They don't usually like heat, and they're very short-lived with heat. They like sandy soil, cooler sites. So I would say it's really the environment that's up there.
Interesting. Let's see. This is more of a comment rather than a question. They say, thanks for a great show. For the listener who wants to stake their tomatoes, the best way they found is to make a cage from concrete reinforcing wire. Wow. That sounds pretty stable.
Yeah, but you know what? That's a good idea, because that is really heavy duty. Sometimes tomato cages are kind of piddly wire. They're not very substantial. And I've seen, probably many of our listeners have seen, tomato really actually overtakes the cage and the whole thing can fall over. So some people actually use one big wooden stake in addition to the cage, because sometimes the cages are so weak. So that reinforced concrete. Denny, we just have got smart listeners.
Don't we, though? Well, we see that. We see that all the time. Yeah. And another thing to get, I know we just have about a minute to go. As a matter of fact, it's exactly a minute. Let's remind our listeners once again to get to the website. Tell us about that.
Yes, extension.umn.edu, and click on Yard and Garden. You can put pretty much anything in the search engine. How about winter seed sowing? Put that in the search engine. It will tell you what you can sow right now in the wintertime. That's a fun thing to do. Watering houseplants, or really the name of any plant that you're interested in looking at. So a great resource, lots of information at extension.umn.edu.
Excellent. I get to the Arboretum. You're going to love it. And join. Yeah. Why don't you sign up and join? It's some great, great stuff when you get to join. So, Mary, thank you so much. I hope you have a good week. I know we'll be chatting again. At least I certainly hope so. And stay warm. Looks like we're going to have a little melting going on here.
I hope so. It's always a pleasure to talk gardening. Thanks, Denny.
Thanks so much. Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. We mentioned it earlier. Get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. Maybe you're in the middle of a project. You're about to start one. Maybe you have questions about ice dams or icicles. We're going to talk about those coming up here on CCO Radio. In the Twin Cities right now, currently at 17 degrees, on our way to 34, going to be 38 tomorrow. Stay with us.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.